Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Arjun Chowdhury, and today we will be discussing about the key highlights of the Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman's reply to the general discussion on the budget 2026-27 in the Rajya Sabha. And I'm joined by Dr. S.P. Sharma. Dr. Sharma, welcome to this discussion on Akashvani.
Thank you.
Dr. Sharma, for the benefit of our followers and listeners on Akashvani, do tell us about what she has addressed before the Rajya Sabha. Specifically, if we can start with the capital expenditure for the financial year 2026-27, where 17.1 lakh crore rupees has been allocated for expenditure, which is 4.4% of the gross domestic product, in order for India to continue its journey to achievement of Viksit Bharat. There has been debate and discussion on this, and for the benefit of our followers, could you tell us in simpler terms what has been discussed and what the questions have been asked regarding this?
I would like to mention that our capital expenditure is going up, and as mentioned by our Honorable Finance Minister, that we have increased our capital expenditure from low level to significantly high level, from 4-5 lakh crore to now at around 17 lakh crore, of which actual capital expenditure is 12.2 lakh crore, and the total allocations are more than 17 lakh crore, which is more than 4% of our GDP. Now every road goes to Viksit Bharat. India is becoming very strong in infrastructure, whether rail, road, port, airport, all these things are becoming so robust for the development of the economy. And this capital expenditure, not only number, but also supporting each and every segment of India's economy, providing jobs to the skilled, unskilled, semi-skilled, and white-collar and blue-collar jobs for the infrastructure development. Because capital expenditure always creates a trajectory of the prosperity with the more and more jobs and more infrastructure development, and the overall aggregate demand happening in the economy. Because when the money comes in the system, that create aggregate demand in the country, and with the aggregate demand, the manufacturing system also grows up, and the demand for services also comes in force. So that is the overall pushing factor, or I would say the multiplier factor, to give a great push to the overall economy. So these things will support economy going forward to become developed economy by 2047 and support the infrastructure and employment in the country.
So you mentioned about employment, and clearly the linkage of aggregate demand is to Keynesian economics. When the government spends, then it leads to growth and employment in the economy. RBI projects 7.4% growth in the GDP as far as India is concerned. They also mention of it in the economic survey. Could you tell us what the strategy and the tactics of the government, and more importantly, the money that's been drawn from the Consolidated Fund of India, the CFI, what are the revenue projections? How are we doing it?
Yes, Arjun, because our growth trajectory is very strong. During the last four financial years, we grew at around 7.5% on an average. Immediately after the coronavirus, we grew at 9.7%, thereafter 8.2%, then 7.2%. Last year, we grew at 6.5%. So the average growth is 7.5% during the last four financial years. And for the current year also, we are projected to grow at 7.4%. And for the next year, the growth projections are 6.8 to 7.2%, somewhere between 6.8 to 7.2%. But I am in favor of more growth in the Indian economy with the support of these recent trade deals with EU and US. So our growth projection will be at around 7.3 or 7.4% for the next year also, according to my estimates, according to the recent developments. So I would like to mention that India's trajectory of the revenue receipts and capital receipts remain very, very robust on the back of various reforms undertaken by the government, particularly the direct tax reforms and the indirect tax reforms. And that is reflected from the debt to GDP ratio, which the government has projected at a very rational number, 55.6% of GDP, as compared with 56.1% in the current year. For the next year, it is 55.6%. So the target is to bring it at 40% in the coming times, because that is the number which reflects your revenues and your expenditure and your overall debt position. So our fiscal deficit is also at 4.3% for the next year. year. For the current year, our fiscal deficit is projected at 4.4%. So going forward, our fiscal consolidation or our revenue segment or our capital expenditure are very much in benign condition, and we are very comfortable in our fiscal policy environment or the fiscal consolidation or our efforts to control the fiscal deficit in a quagmire of various developments at the global level, various headwinds at the global level. So our domestic resilience is now mitigating all the negatives at global level, and we are very comfortable in our financial segment.
Dr. Sharma, you mentioned about resilience and more importantly, the debt to GDP ratio, 55.6%. The target is to bring it down to 40%, and that would also reduce our borrowings. Geopolitically, mentioned about what's happening between India and the US. The free trade agreement is supposed to kick off in the month of March when there'll be a formal signing of it. Right now, they're seeing it as an interim trade deal. 18% is what is being cited as a tariff that the US will impose on imports, as against 50%, which has already been imposed by the US, which includes a penalty for importing crude oil from Russia. Apart from this free trade agreement, which is supposed to kick off from the month of March when the parties sign it, you also have free trade agreements with the European Union and the United Kingdom. You also have it with Australia. How do you see all of that in terms of revenue receipts from the government, that too in foreign exchange?
I would like to mention that our trajectory of our recent free trade agreements started in 2020 with the signing of free trade agreement with Mauritius, thereafter UAE, then Australia, thereafter we signed UK and Oman, New Zealand, and more recently EU and now the US with 18% tariffs. And all these nine FTAs are very, very strong and built on the basis of a strong trade trajectory. I would like to mention that the total trade, these nine free trade agreements, is at around somewhere between $600 to $700 billion. And this trade is growing significantly, more than 80% during the last 5 years, point to point, starting from 2021 to 24-25. That overall growth is more than 80% in the total exports and imports, as compared with our total trade growing at 40% during the same period. So we have built our free trade trajectory on the basis of our strong growth in trade, including the exports and imports. So I believe these free trade agreements are going to become strong in the coming times with the reduction of tariffs at the both sides. So these will provide a great market to each other's territory and support the employment creation and create more and more innovative opportunities for our growing young population. So I would say the trade deal with the US is also very in favor of India, as we are at 18% as compared with the 19-20 or even higher tariffs for the competitive economies in Asia. So with this reduction of tariff at 18%, our trade, our exports are expected to make a breakthrough in the next year also. So I believe these free trade agreements are the great deals in the way of our Viksit Bharat, and these will support our trajectory and our road to Viksit Bharat by 2047.
Dr. Sharma, apart from the trade agreements that we have entered into, all the FTAs, all nine of them, and the benefit we will get in terms of selling our products overseas, importing also for making products for export purposes, whether goods and services. We also have foreign direct investment in the form of data centers for the purpose of artificial intelligence, which is already a core policy for the government with the India AI mission and many such missions and programs that the government of India has launched regarding artificial intelligence. Could you tell us something about what kind of foreign direct investments we are looking at regarding artificial intelligence and data centers?
Our AI adoption is very strong as compared with the world. We are at 30% in AI adoption as compared with the world average of 26%. So our companies are more and more in the trajectory of adopting AI with more robust environment in the manufacturing sector. According to the numbers, more than 20% manufacturing companies are now in the AI segment. And in the digital segment also, we are becoming more strong, and globally we are digitally a strong economy. We are leader in the digitalization. So going forward, these two pillars are major support for India's economy to become more and more robust. And I believe now that digitalization is more than 20% of our GDP, which is higher than the share of agriculture and manufacturing in the GDP. So going forward, this segment is going to become very strong and to drive the trajectory or the speed of the economy to the next level. as we are already growing more than 7%. So with the more and more digitalization and AI adoption, I believe the growth will be somewhere 8 to 9% in the coming times in the next 2-3 years. We will achieve higher and higher growth with the support of these two strong pillars of the economy. Though there are headwinds at the global level, but still with the support of such digital and AI, we are becoming more robust and resilient in the global marketplace.
What is the government doing in terms of ensuring that they have trade and investment finance, both in the local currency and in foreign exchange as well? And also, they have a robust supply chain for both foreign direct investments and exports.
Yes, Arjun, because MSMEs are backbone of Indian economy, and we have more than 6 crore MSMEs contributing more than 11 crore employment opportunities in the country. And more than 95% companies now come under the MSME segment. And government is doing a lot for the MSMEs, for the growth of MSMEs and for the resilience of MSMEs since the last many years, particularly from 2020 when they provided the emergency credit line for the MSME segment, and that also supported for the growth and resilience of the MSMEs. So now again, government is very keen to support the MSMEs, and they have provided 10,000 crore SME growth fund for the champion MSMEs. So that is a great thing which has happened in this budget, that government allocated specifically 10,000 crore. So this is the start, I believe. Going forward, we can expect more allocations for the MSME. In many advanced economies, the MSME contribution in GDP is very high. They contribute at around 60% or 70%. Many MSMEs are operating in the food processing and agriculture and allied activities processes.
Dr. Sharma, the speech and the address of the Union Minister of Finance, Nirmala Sitharaman, regarding the budget announcement, which was made on 1st of February before the Rajya Sabha right now, today itself, after she made it before the Lok Sabha yesterday, also includes what the opposition is seeking, is the allocation of funds, the share of the revenue proceeds. A 41% share of taxes is now being devolved to the states. You have all the states and union territories who are seeking the transfer of funds right now, 41% of the divisible pool to the states. And she has specifically mentioned that this has been transferred and no state's share has been reduced. How important is this when we talk about what to expect from the states as well? Because all the states and union territories comprise the overall GDP of the economy. 7.4% is what the central bank is citing would be India's growth story for the financial year. What is the responsibility you feel of the states who are in deficit? About 11 are in surplus.
We have to create a great synchronization of the policy environment between the center and the states, because center is not in isolation. Our economy or our fundamentals or our growth is not in isolation. This is the great effort of our all states. When states grow, then our growth becomes more and more strong. So government is very keen to provide all the support to the states since the last many years. And states are growing in a significant trajectory. I would like to mention that in the post-COVID years, more than 25 states grew at the rate of 7%, and around 16 states grew at 9% on an average in the 21-22, 22-23 and 23-24 average was significantly higher as compared with the pre-COVID years. So this is happening with the support of the central government in terms of providing the adequate funds and infrastructure support, and particularly the policy environment, as government has provided various reforms in the agriculture sector, in the logistics policy, now recently the labor code. I believe the policy environment is very clear, but the adoption and implication at the ground level, the implementation of all these reforms at the ground level will go a long way to support India's economy and to become more and more strong.
Thank you so much, Dr. S.P. Sharma, for being with us on Akashvani and explaining us to in great detail what the speech and the reply of the Union Minister of Finance, Nirmala Sitharaman, has been before the Rajya Sabha regarding the budget that was presented and announced on 1st of February, fleshing it out for the benefit of the opposition, their questions, which is being debated right now in Parliament, and for the benefit of the public as well, who want to understand what the details, the nitty-gritty of the budget are. Thank you so much, Dr. Sharma.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.